Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I've been living alone for over 10 years now. My husband and daughter passed away, and the rest of my family moved out of town a long time ago. I've owned my house for 40 years and watched the neighborhood slowly fall apart, but I never would even thought of moving. The house, the yard, even the street are full of memories I will hold on to forever.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Especially the old oak tree in my front yard. My daughter would climb up into it and spend the whole day playing in the branches. So when a man came knocking on my door and said he worked for a company that would cut it down for just a few hundred dollars, I told him to go to hell. He tried to tell me the tree was dead, but I knew it wasn't. I still think he was just a scammer who didn't even have a real job. He got all pissy with me, so I slammed the door in his face. A few days later, a really bad storm front rolled in. It rained all day. In the evening, an awful thunderstorm hit. I wasn't too concerned about it. During that time of year, thunderstorms happen all the time. I wasn't prepared for anything, but I didn't think I needed to be. Just after the sun set, the power went out. Again, I wasn't too worried. I figured the city would get it fixed in the morning. I'd been watching TV, so I lit up some candles and read a book for a while. Not long after, I went to bed early. The storm was still raging, but it was peaceful. I'd always liked the sound of rain. Thunder never bothered me either, but that wasn't the only sound I heard out there. Right as I was getting into bed, I heard a chainsaw over the noise of the storm. I had no idea why somebody would be working outside with a chainsaw in that kind of weather. It sounded close, too, like it was coming from my neighbor's yard. I thought maybe he was working in the garage, but even then, that didn't make much sense. I expected the sound to stop after just a few seconds, but a whole minute went by, and it never shut up. Finally, I just had to see what was going on. I got up and walked to my door, but I didn't even get a chance to open it. All of a sudden, this horrible cracking sound erupted outside. A moment later, the ceiling split open, and the oak tree crashed right through it. The wall fell apart like tissue paper, and the tree landed on my bed. If I had waited another 5 seconds to get up, I would have been crushed. I was in shock. The wind and rain were rushing into my bedroom. I was soaking wet almost instantly, freezing and confused. Then I looked outside through the hole the tree had created and saw in a flash of lightning a man standing by the tree stump with a chainsaw in his hands. Just as soon as I saw him, he started coming towards me. I was petrified in fear. He stepped over the tree and into my bedroom. Then he came right up to me, put the chainsaw right up to my throat, and then revved it.
Tell me where you keep your jewelry, you old hag!
Over there, in the dresser, in the locked drawer.
Open it, now!
I don't know where the key is.
Then find it before I cut your head off!
I can't. Everything's destroyed.
What do you mean? Are you senile? It's your house!
But look at it!
At last, he tore his focus away from me and looked at the destruction he had done to my bedroom. The roof was caved in all over the floor. It was impossibly dark. The tree had shattered the bed frame, and now everything I owned was being soaked by the rain. I don't know how he expected me to find anything in this mess he made, but I know he had to be out of his mind. Seeing how hopeless it would be to find the key to the drawer, he became furious. I thought he would turn back and rip me to shreds with the chainsaw, or cut my head off and throw it through the neighbor's window in anger. But instead, he shoved me to the floor and walked over to the dresser. He revved up the chainsaw and started cutting through the top of the dresser. He laughed as he did it, as if he was taking pleasure in destroying everything I had left. Mere seconds later, he had cut a hole through the wood and stuck his hand inside, pulling out my jewelry box. It also had a lock on it, of course, but he didn't care.
Please don't take it. It's all I have left.
Shut up! You don't need it! What's the point of putting jewelry on a disgusting old woman like you?
And that was the last thing he said before he ran out of the hole in the wall into the storm. I was left calling for help on my bedroom floor, but hardly anybody could hear me over the rain flooding my house. I expected God to strike me with lightning right then and there, but for some reason, he didn't. I lost everything that night. Those pieces of jewelry that were stolen had been in my family for decades, some of them generations. And all of that probably ended up in a pawn shop somewhere so that degenerate could get his next fix. It was so dark and chaotic when it was all happening, so I couldn't get a good look at his face. However, it would make sense to me if he was the same guy who tried to get me to pay him to cut down the tree a few days prior. I often wonder if I had fallen for that scam, if things would have ended differently. Unfortunately, the police had not been able to find him, so on top of everything, I'll probably never get justice. I've been living in my neighbor's house ever since my home was destroyed. The community got together to try and raise money for repairs, but I don't know if it will ever be enough.
I spent a lot of time at my uncle's house when I was young. My parents worked a lot, and I can remember going to stay with my uncle's family most Fridays and staying till Sunday. At least until I was old enough to stay by myself. My aunt and uncle didn't really mind, and after a while, I began to think of their house and their family as more of a family than my parents. After all, my parents' house was just a house, and my uncle's was a place where people loved me and were glad to see me. My uncle had two kids, Ruth and Luke, and the three of us were all around the same age. Their room was in the basement, and we always hung out down there. They had an old TV down there, a Super Nintendo, and a VCR that we watched old movies on. The room was huge, the basement unwalled, so it made for a ton of space. We would sit down there all night playing games and watching movies, and just loving life. This story happened when I was about 10, but it's something I'll never forget. It was Saturday. It had been raining all day. We'd been playing Super Mario World for about the 1,000th time, and when lightning started, we were worried that they would tell us to shut it down. My aunt seemed to be worried that the lightning would ruin anything that was plugged in, and so we all figured that we'd just be reading or playing with toys in no time. To our surprise, they didn't remind us, and we didn't remind them. We were stuck in the forest level for a few hours, and I remember seeing the lightning flash in the little windows at the top of the wall. The basement had those little windows, short but long, and I sat and counted the minutes between flashes to see how far the lightning was from us. I remember squinting after one particularly bright flash, thinking I saw something as Luke put his tongue between his teeth and tried to get the ghost house to give up the right path. I leaned over the back of the couch, looking at the little window and waiting for another flash. There was definitely something there, something sitting out near the window. But it was hard to tell as the rain came down and the fog covered the glass. It almost looked like a face, but that was stupid. No one would sit out in the rain and watch a couple kids just play Mario World. Luke growled as he accidentally ran Mario into a hole, said it was my turn. He had to say it a few times because I was so focused on the window that I didn't hear him at first. I turned back, Luigi waiting for me, and when the lightning flashed, I'd forgotten all about the face. Kids with short attention spans and all, am I right?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
We played for another 45 minutes before my aunt yelled down that it was time to get ready for bed. We groaned about getting just 5 more minutes, but my aunt said it was late and we needed our rest. When Ruth asked if we should watch The Land Before Time as we went to bed, though, my aunt agreed. We grabbed our sleeping bags, brushed our teeth, and got into our jammies before getting comfy in front of the old TV set, slipping the tape into the battered old VHS. As the movie started, my aunt told us goodnight as she cut the lights. The lightning got closer, and I could see the flashes coming more and more often. The crashes shook the house, and it reminded me that I had been looking for something. I didn't see anything, though, but I did hear a sound. It cut through the sleepy haze that I'd been cultivating as the movie lulled me to sleep. Ruth was dozing, Luke was already snoring, and as Littlefoot and his friends made their journey to the Great Valley, I found that I just couldn't get that sound off my mind. It only came when the lightning did, and I could hear it on the edge of the thunder as it grumbled across the neighborhood.
longer the sound went on and stopped me from sleeping, the more frustrated I got. I got up, finally, and started listening, trying to pinpoint the sound to a specific place. If I could figure out where it was coming from, then I could tell myself it was nothing to be worried about and go to sleep. Luke and Ruth were already asleep, and I was tired enough that I wanted to just get this done with so I could go to sleep too. I waited for the lightning. I listened after the hard flash. As the thunder rolled, I heard it again. There it was, coming from the window near the washer and the dryer. I walked slowly into the little alcove, peeking at the window as I slowly came around the washer. I still couldn't tell, so I picked up one of the boxy little flashlights my uncle had on the utility shelf and waited for the flash. I turned the flashlight on, catching it fully in the face, and when I saw what was waiting outside that little window, it took everything I had not to scream like a banshee. Instead, I ran upstairs to get my uncle, telling him what was happening and that we were in danger. My aunt tried to tell me I was dreaming, but my uncle didn't seem so sure. He told me to go wake up my cousins and get them upstairs, and I nodded as he slipped on his house shoes. He was up and out the door in seconds, his stomach hanging over the top of his pajama pants, the rifle in his hand, hard to miss. I went down and got my cousins up, telling them we had to get upstairs, and when my aunt came down to help me, I could tell something had changed. I didn't know what my uncle had said to her. She grabbed up Luke and made sure that Ruth and I were upstairs before she locked the basement door and set us up in the living room for the night. My uncle came back in 20 minutes later. He hadn't found anyone, but he still called the police. They came out and checked, asking me questions, and when they asked what I had seen, I told them. It was a face looking down through the window, a big rock raised as he tried to bash in the window. I found out later that those windows could be opened from the outside if the frame was bashed in just right. It was hard to do without a crowbar, but my uncle told me that if I hadn't caught the person, they would have been in after a few more lightning strikes. He says, to this day, that I probably saved my cousins and myself by being curious about a strange noise, and I'm welcome there anytime. My uncle installed new windows the week after the storm, and the new ones were sturdier and could only be opened from the inside. The police arrested a man a few weeks later for something similar, and I think we all slept a little bit better after that. I still wonder sometimes what would have happened if I hadn't caught that guy before he got in, and it's something I don't often like to dwell on. This incident goes back in time to when I used to work as a pizza guy for Domino's. It was mid of July. I was driving back after delivering the last order when the storm hit. If I was in a car, I would have pulled it down the road, waited for the storm to be over, but it was just an old scooter. My battery had already died down, so my only option was to find a shelter for the night. After 10 minutes into the storm, I found a house, drenched like a street dog. I knocked on its door. I knocked again this time, calling out, "Anyone home?" Still, no answer. Lightning flashed right behind me, so I turned around to check if my scooter was okay. Once I turned back, an old woman was standing in front of me with a creepy smile.
Whoa, hi.
I fumbled because I didn't hear her open the door. Her eyes were grayish due to age, and she had 4 to 5 teeth left in her mouth. There was a bald spot on her head, with thinning hair going down to her shoulders. "I didn't order a pizza, but I won't mind a slice," the woman said. "No, ma'am. I was hoping to stop here for the night.
I don't see any motels nearby, and my phone's..."
Sure. Come on in.
She led me into a living room that had a weird reeking smell. She told me to sit down and went to the kitchen. After about 5 to 7 minutes, she brought me a cup of tea and a towel to dry myself off.
"I thought you might need this."
"Huh?
Oh, thanks. I'm sorry to bother you like this." "Oh no, dear. Not at all. Stay as long as you want. I've empty rooms upstairs." "I've lived alone, so it won't be a problem."
The woman took me to a room, and it was not bad. At least not for a night. She gave me a pair of loose pajamas and a Hawaiian shirt that she said belonged to her late husband.
I locked the door and rested my head on the warm bed. Sleep came in seconds. I don't recall the time, but I woke up with a heavy head. It felt like I drank all the liquor in the world before going to sleep.
God, Why does my head hurt so much? I tried to get up from the bed, but my blurry vision made it difficult to see in the dark. I searched for the bedside lamp and turned it on. Once the lights hit the room, I felt dizzier. Before I could make sense of what was happening to me, a strong bile hit my throat and I vomited on the floor. It was the tea the old woman fed me. Suddenly, staying in that house didn't feel safer anymore. I somehow got up and changed back into my old clothes, even though they were soaking wet. The cold, wet clothes calmed me down, and I could think straight while suffering in this intoxicated state. The storm had stopped by then, and I could hear two voices coming from the other room. One was of the old woman, and the other was a man. Wait, didn't she say she lived alone? I placed my ear on the door to hear what they were saying.
"You sure he's asleep?"
the old man said. "Yes, I gave him the tea myself. The stupid boy didn't even question it before drinking it." Oh god, there was something in that tea that made me unconscious. Why would she do that? "You sure you're ready to operate?"
"I might be in a wheelchair, honey, but I'm still the best surgeon. I'll make her up for the surgery."
"What the frack? What kind of operation are they planning to do on me? I need to leave. Right now." I quietly came out of my room. I could hear the metal clinks from their room now. I tiptoed down the stairs, but I found the main door locked. Damn, that old woman probably took away the key. How do I get out? I was panicking because something was very wrong about this house, about that senile couple upstairs. And just then, I remembered seeing an open window in my room. I ran back in and looked down from the window. I have to jump. There's no other way out. The rain has made the ground soft, so I can pray the fall doesn't hurt me much. I can hear the footsteps coming closer to my room. There was no more time to wait. I had to jump, so I did. I fell on my back and it bruised my arm, but the fear was way more than the realization of the pain. Somehow, I made it past the gate and started my scooter. Thank God my keys were in my pocket still. As I drove away, I heard a scream from the old woman. She probably just found out that I managed to escape. I never went back to that house ever again. Till today, I think how lucky I was that the tea wasn't strong enough to knock me down completely. Otherwise, who knows what that old couple was planning to do to me.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I was fresh out of a major breakup and struggling to get past the heartache when a friend of mine encouraged me to use Tinder. After one of my friends claimed to have massive success on the app, I decided to give it a go. After all, there was nothing left for me to lose. I would spend several hours swiping on matches to no end and getting no swipes back, making the whole experience seem even more depressing. Then, I struck luck. I swiped on a woman named Linda, and she finally swiped back on me. The match was a small victory that I would end up greatly regretting. We spoke for weeks on and off and got to know each other better. Linda seemed like a nice enough girl, though she was a bit older than me despite looking much younger. She wasn't fussed about going out for a meal or a trip to the cinema. The traditional romance wasn't her style, so we eventually arranged to casually meet up at a bar. Upon arrival, Linda was barely recognizable. Her profile picture was likely outdated, for the woman who faced me was a lot older and on the heavier side. This was an immediate red flag, though not exactly a major problem to me. We got our drinks and enjoyed each other's company. Conversation flowed effortlessly, and it seemed like we had a lot in common, maybe even too much. I got the impression that Linda perhaps somehow did her research on me. She tried to impress me by bringing up my exact interests. Whenever there came a moment of awkward silence, I would think about what to say, but she would beat me to it every time, eager to keep the conversation flowing. At one point, Linda looked at me and blatantly said, "Let's talk about sex," and I was stunned at her forwardness. She asked about my sex life and wanted to know what kind of stuff I got up to with previous partners. We exchanged stories, though mine didn't seem comparable to her exciting tales. Recounting her dramatic encounters, I felt ashamed and started making up stories just to seem less boring in contrast to her taste. I also felt immensely uncomfortable talking about these kinds of things on a first date. Just as I thought the topic was fading away, Linda began telling me about a disturbing experience she had that involved bondage. she unsolicitedly revealed that she liked to torture and abuse people for her pleasure. She told me one story in particular where she tricked a man into getting into bed with her, only for him to discover that the bed he lay down on was full of thumbtacks. After this revelation, I was gulping down my drink and reciting my excuse to leave. That's when she told me one final story. I was only partially listening, but apparently, only a week before meeting me, she met up with a man that she met off Tinder and went home with him. She brought her bag full of bondage tools and ended up wrapping the man up from head to toe in cling film until he was mummified. She laughed while she retold the story and impersonated his mumbled pleas for help. "He's probably dead by now," she giggled and casually sipped her drink. I got up right then and left. I had no desire to entertain a deranged woman. I didn't question whether she was joking. It was simply inappropriate to speak of such things during a first meeting regardless. To top it all off, Linda tried to kiss me as I left, but I pulled away from her and stormed off before blocking her on everything. Needless to say, I'm done with Tinder, and I hope to never see Linda ever again. Unfortunately, this woman's story might be true, as it sounds directly connected to another chilling encounter shared by someone else on a different thread. This story gives additional information that could potentially be used by others to effectively avoid an encounter with this menacing woman. In Glasgow, Scotland, in November 2016, I became desperate for some kind of connection. I had been single for a long while, and I'll shamelessly admit, the loneliness was driving me crazy. That's when I met a very sweet girl online named Laura. She was in a hurry to meet me, and I was equally impatient. She made it clear that she didn't care for fancy dates and insisted we meet up at a pub. Now, I'm not exactly good-looking myself, but I felt swindled when Laura showed up looking completely unlike what I had seen online. She had clearly used different pictures, yet it didn't overly upset me. I was just happy to finally have a date and decided to give her a chance to redeem herself. Laura was an overweight girl with long black hair. She wore her makeup like Amy Winehouse and claimed to be a big fan. In her thick eyeshadow and dark liners, she wasn't conventionally unattractive. We settled down and had a few beers before things started to get more intimate. I asked her about her hobbies and interests, and she wanted to know more about me. When I spoke of my job, she mockingly yawned and propped herself up with the sudden statement, "Let's talk about your sex life." As she said this, she slipped her foot out from her shoe and started rubbing it against my groin under the table. Being so deprived of touch, I was immediately aroused. I told her that it's been a while since I've been with anyone, and this seemed to excite her. When I returned to the question, she didn't waver in telling me that she had interesting kinks. "Want to see what I can do?" she suggested with a flirty wink. Normally, I handled my alcohol pretty well, but I was feeling drunk off my fourth pint and two earlier shots, so I accepted her invitation with clouded judgment. We headed outside and waited for a taxi back to her place. All the while, Laura held my hand and whispered provocative things in my ear. For some reason, I just felt like going to sleep. My head began feeling heavy and the ground beneath my feet shifted. I don't remember much after getting into the taxi with her, and my memory only returned in segments. I could recall falling down the stairs and Laura laughing at me, telling me to move my sexy ass up the steps. Then, I was in her bedroom naked, bound by my arms and legs, deeply aroused and confused. She entered the room in a bondage outfit and proceeded to perform sexual acts on me before having full intercourse. Despite how wrong the encounter felt, I was delighted and eventually dozed off for a bit. Not even a minute later, I was awoken again by a weird screeching sound. Laura was at the foot of the bed, busy wrapping my legs in cling film. When I asked her what she was doing, she smiled sinisterly. "Hush now, this is the best part." I was paralyzed and couldn't move a limb no matter how much I willed my body to. She continued wrapping me from my waist upwards until I began screaming at her to stop. And she stuffed my mouth with cling film to shut me up. The ball of plastic in my mouth made breathing difficult, so I tried not to hyperventilate and make it worse. In no time, I was completely wrapped from head to toe, not even able to see through the cling film on my face. I could hear Laura's muffled voice tell me that this was my punishment for being terrible in bed, that I'd join her other victims, all whom she wrapped up and left for dead. When I sensed her leaving, I began thrashing around and screaming until I felt myself falling unconscious. Surprisingly, I woke up the next day, breathing clearly with people surrounding me. They had removed most of the cling film and successfully resuscitated me. Apparently, this wasn't Laura's flat, but an old-fashioned hotel room. The police were on the scene and questioned me, but I could only show them her Tinder profile, which she had already deleted. Although I'm grateful to my rescuers, I'll forever be embarrassed and traumatized by this incident. After the event, I began having panic attacks when I saw a resemblance to Laura in anybody I met. It took me years to pull myself together enough to trust people going on dates again, and the road to recovering mentally is still ongoing. I'm just glad to be alive, though I can't help but wonder if Laura's still out there claiming more victims, and my heart goes out to those who didn't manage to escape as I did. It was 2013. I was fresh out of college, where I'd studied journalism. I managed to get an intern position at a decent company, and I was shadowing this guy called Austin. He was a pretty talented reporter with a reputation that already preceded him. We'd been asked to try to find a good story on Tinder, which had just been released into the market. Austin, being the more experienced one, suggested we both download the app and start swiping. He wanted me to take notes of the sort of profiles I ran into, try to build an image of the average Tinder user, but pay special attention to the outliers. Days went by and I really saw nothing out of the ordinary. Austin, however, sent me a screenshot of a profile, a woman named Suzanne. Her age was listed as 29, but she was definitely an old lady. White fluffy hair, glasses, wrinkly skin, a proper grandma. Now that was unusual. I hadn't run into a single old person in the app until now. Not that old, at least. Trying to pass as 29 years old with a picture like that, too. I thought it might be a prank profile. Austin was hooked, though. He reached out to her, explaining he was a journalist trying to write an article on Tinder users and wanted to know what motivated her to use the app. She gladly agreed, and Austin set a date for us to visit her at home. Sure enough, as soon as Austin rang the doorbell, the old lady from the photo opened the door for us, greeting us warmly. I noticed a long, thin scar running from right under her chin along her neck, something not really visible on her photo. The woman offered us some coffee as we sat down in her living room. Her space perfectly matched her appearance. Porcelain decorations, old-fashioned furniture, white, thin cloth curtains with elaborate embroidery at the bottom. Even the cups were fitting the aesthetic. As we drank the coffee, Austin initiated a bit of small talk, trying to get her more comfortable before getting to the proper questions. I didn't pay a lot of attention to it. I just overheard that she lived alone and had moved into the neighborhood around 15 years ago. My mind was elsewhere, though. As my eyes had begun to wander around a bit, the whole place seemed to strike me as odd. Everything was so clean. Sure, the woman lived alone and she might have been a bit obsessed with cleaning, but it was more like brand new spotless. Even the old-fashioned furniture had no signs of wear. Austin decided to begin the interview. Suzanne was keen on answering every question, and also surprisingly adept at technology. As she spoke, though, the odd feeling was there again. She didn't speak like an old person at all. She would use modern slang, and she seemed to have no trouble understanding social media lingo. Seeing such an old person speak like that so naturally was almost funny, but at the same time, somewhat unnerving. After a bit, Austin interrupted himself to ask for a coffee refill. Suzanne gladly obliged and left towards the kitchen. I had to almost suppress a gasp when this old woman stood up with no difficulty at all, straight posture, firm legs, and walked straight to the kitchen. Austin took the chance and told me that something was not right about her. I agreed, and he told me to excuse myself as soon as she came back. He wanted to get the chance to interview her by himself and see if he could bring out something really interesting. A few seconds later, Suzanne came back and I stood up, claiming they needed me urgently at the office. As soon as I got out, I felt a sudden urge to walk away as fast as possible. A shiver went down my spine, and the sense of dread started pressing on my chest. Something was seriously wrong there. I tried calling Austin, telling him he should get out of there, but he turned his phone off. I didn't go back for him. That was the last time I saw him. He never came back home after that. A police search was conducted in the area, but they found the house completely empty. A bit more investigation revealed it was a newly constructed property, bought just a week ago. I try not to think about this very often. The only reason this story came back to me was because of what I found today on Tinder. As I swiped profiles, I came across a very familiar face. A young woman, 29 years old. Her eyes, the shape of her hair, the way her smile curved. I'd never met her, but I could swear I recognized her from somewhere. I saw her name, Suzanne. I held my breath as I closely examined the picture. Sure enough, on a closer look, I could see the thin scar running right from under her chin along her neck. I don't know what's going on. I guess she could be a relative, or someone who just happens to look like her, but the exact scar in the exact same spot? I'll try to make a police report.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I closed the app as soon as I realized it was her, so I hope to find her profile again. Hopefully, it'll lead to some answers.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.